This is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, right toward the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there's the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Well, Hobby Lobby Corporation was in the news this week, and that's not all that unusual. They're a fairly prominent company, and when the discussion comes up of business and religion, usually that corporation comes to our awareness. They are obviously driven by Christian ethics. They are closed on Sunday, so their employees can have family time and church time. And all that's well and good, and I have to tell you that, however, on my more dark days, I look at that sort of thing, you know, this sort of public, aren't we religious? I look at that with, there's a level of sort of smug self-righteousness about that. Imagine my surprise when Hobby Lobby this week is in the news because apparently in addition to importing all the things they sell in the store, they've been importing illegally priceless Bible-oriented artifacts that have probably been looted from Iraq and have paid a $3 million fine for having done so. So I took note of that, raised my eyebrows, and said, well, I'm sure they committed all those international felonies in a good Christian way. Or, to tell that story again and in another way, my reaction to a smug and self-righteous corporation's fall from grace was a fair dose of my own smug self-righteousness. In other words, the log in my own eye. And I'd like to excuse that by saying, well, you know what, I'm only human. You know, and we say that a lot, and it's sort of a cop-out, because when we say, well, I'm only human, we're trying to make the claim that we're on our good day one click above the pigs, let's say, which is quite a far cry from where the Bible puts us. We are not one click above the pigs. We are, in fact, one click below the angels. Not only human, but fully human. And it strikes me, in light of Hobby Lobby and this text, that we become more fully human when we take the log out of our own eye and see ourselves, perhaps more as God might have intended us to be known to one another and to Him. So the question is, what does it mean to be fully human as opposed to only human? Well, the answer to that, actually, I read a long time ago from one of my favorite authors who said, to be fully human is to be honest, to be brave, to be compassionate. On our best days, those are the marks of fullness of humanity. Honesty, courage, compassion. Well, let's take those in order a little bit. I think there are two dimensions to honesty that I want to talk about. One briefly, one in a little more, with a little more depth. Honesty in the news would be refreshing, wouldn't it? And I heard, interviewed a couple weeks ago, a guy named Lanny Davis, who you may know was one of Bill Clinton's special counsel and chief advisors during his presidency. And he wrote a book, the title of which was the advice he gave to Bill Clinton in the midst of the Clinton scandal, which Bill Clinton did not take to his detriment. And the title of the book was Tell It First, Tell It All, Tell It Yourself. In other words, get out in front of the story. Make the story told on your terms. Otherwise, you wind up with this endless drip of innuendo and information and defensiveness, and it goes on forever. Get out in front of it, tell it first, tell it all, tell it yourself. Now that sounds noble, but it's actually self-serving, because then you can move beyond it and move forward. And I think that is good advice the next time we step in it and are caught and we know it. Get out in front of it, move beyond it. Be more fully human. But there's another, I think, more profound dimension to honesty as a piece of the fullness of our humanity, and that is honesty with ourselves. What do we need? Where can we find it? With whom can we share it? It goes to the nature of relationships. One of the pieces I do in my freshman class talking about marriage and family is I point out the rather surprising in some ways statistic, although maybe not, that the divorce rate for first marriages, for people in their first and only marriage, is lower than the divorce rate for people who are in their second and subsequent marriages. And the reasons for that are many and varied, but I think the most profound reason that the divorce rate for second and subsequent marriages, where second marriages become subsequent, you know, two, three, four, five times, is how hard it is to be honest with yourself when something goes haywire in a relationship. I tell my students to go back and remember the time in middle school when someone they thought they loved, the first person who held your hand, and you were certain you were going to marry that person, dumps you. You know, I tell them it's good for you to be dumped. That's a useful thing, because you then have the opportunity to examine what you really need, what you did or didn't bring to that relationship that caused it to go haywire, and after some rather ruthless self-reflection, understand more clearly what you might want or need the next time around. Otherwise, you wind up doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the outcome to be different, and it never is. The opportunity for this sort of frightening, ruthless self-reflection enables us to both know what we need and find a way to get it. Honesty brings us into the fullness of our humanity. When we live in the real world, acknowledging our strengths, knowing our limitations, and knowing how in relationships we can be complementary. And that may require some significant changing in how we see ourselves. Honesty and the fullness of humanity. Courage, I think, is another element of what makes us fully human and engages us with others. Now, it is not especially courageous or brave to see just how fast your car can go on an isolated two-lane highway. That's just stupid. It is, however, enormously brave to go into the hospital room of someone who's in the middle of what you went through last year or before. Engage them with an image of hope. In other words, here I am. I've been where you are, and now I'm here. And also reawaken and relive for their benefit all of the drama that went with your own story. Empathy is brave. To be able to say to someone else, I will relive my story as an example to you, as an example both of strategy and of hope. Well, I can't imagine what is more fully human than to engage somebody else on that level. Which is not a new idea. Throughout the New Testament, St. Paul refers to the church as the body of Christ. And it is, of course, the body of Christ that is metaphorically what we receive at communion. It was nailed to the cross. I take that metaphor to be quite literal. That is, as church people, part of the body of Christ, it's our hands that touch people who need a healing touch. It's our feet that carry us to where others in need happen to be. A very literal image. And the courage it takes to reach who Jesus would touch with our hands, to walk where they are and lead them forward with our feet, is what it means to be fully human, to know empathy, and to be brave. Honesty, courage, and compassion. Compassion is, well, if you can follow this, it's sort of anticipatory empathy, right? We can look at somebody else's sad, sorry life, as I did with the kids a little while ago, and say, you know what, that's a sad, sorry life. And of course, that's pity. That's the opposite of compassion. To look at somebody else's sad, sorry life, who's where we've never been, and probably got there because of their own stupidity, and to do so compassionately is to understand that any day in our lives is anything can happen day. We cannot predict the convergence and vagaries of time and circumstance such that we can never say whatever's going on there could never go on with us because it could. That's compassion. It's sort of empathy in anticipation. empathy and anticipation. What could happen to anyone can, in fact, happen to anyone, including me. And that changes our outlook. When we know and fully understand even the temptation to judge what's going on over there by recognizing there's a log in our own eye, and we remove it and understand it could happen to me, well, at the very least, it wipes the smug, self-righteous grin off our faces, you know, as the log comes out and we judge not, because we never know. We're sort of in the middle of a, not especially cumbersome, but sort of interesting process of hopefully becoming known travelers to the TSA and the Customs Bureau. And there's a process by which you can do that. And you log in and you do some stuff online, and then you develop a profile, and then you have an interview. Well, when you create an account with this group, with TSA, before you can do business, there's this intermediate screen. And on the intermediate screen is this rather remarkable little phrase. It says, and I'm not making this up, "Click here to prove you are human." Click to prove, and of course it relates to bots doing things automatically and so on. I'm thinking, I've never tried to click to prove I was human. I have occasionally clicked send or post and shown evidence that I'm somewhat inhuman, you know, and we all have done that. I don't think you can click to prove you're human, but you can prove to yourself that you are more fully human and watch the log begin to loosen and drop from your own eye. When you tell the truth, when you tell the truth to yourself, when you engage courageously the body of Christ, and when you know that whatever can happen, could happen, the log comes loose and falls out, and you are who God intended you to be, more fully human. Amen.